This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, Rudy in Riverside. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
What's up, fellas? I appreciate you guys. I'm gonna give you some insight. I'm a Ram fan.
Okay.
And I've called you guys before, and on the other show, too. And since day one, I would call Brock Purdy fool's gold, because he looks so good versus average teams without a pass rush. It's not his fault that the Niners are always injured. I'll say that. He looks so good against those teams. And in Kyle Shanahan's schemes, he's really like perfect for that offense. When you get a defense that's hard-hitting and pounds him because he's a little guy, he has problems. Now, Mac Jones did all the heavy lifting this year. Six games, Brock Purdy sat out with an injury, right?
Eight, actually. Actually, Rudy. Rudy was eight. It was eight. Who was the really good team that Mac beat?
The Rams.
Well, he beat the Rams. Yep. And the sock to the jaw goal line fumble, and then the block kick, and we ended up getting rid of our kicker.
Right.
But I'm just saying he was able to be fresh-legged, sit out those games, Phil Spry doing the Dougie against his cupcake teams, finally playing a good defense, get pounded, and he didn't look the same. And tell me if I'm wrong, whenever he plays a good defense and it's mano a mano, the teams are evenly level, he doesn't look the same. And it's not his fault. He used to be a seventh round pick. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, give him that. But he was able to be fresh leg for these games, and finally played a good defense. And it's not his fault that the Ayuk fiasco and stuff and CMC, I couldn't do the same thing. But I really think it's going to be the Seahawks or the Rams holding up the Lombardi at Levi this year, and we'll see what happens. But I appreciate you guys. But that was just my take on Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
I think Mac Jones would have scored more points on Saturday than 3 points.
Yeah, okay, Rudy.
Thanks, Rudy. I mean, Rudy, I wonder if the Seattle Seahawks are a good defense. Can we all agree that they're a good defense?
We sure can.
Does he get credit for beating them in week one?
No. No,
but,
that's not the way. That's not the way.
But they were a good defense.
That's not the way draftism works.
But Brock Purdy. But.
No, 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 no. But. No, you're not allowed to do that.
But Brock Purdy.
No.
If
this is sports radio.
But if you dock him for losing to them on Saturday, also have to give him equal credit.
No, Dan, you are not allowed to compliment people.
Drop
on
the
sports.
Dan.
Okay. Stop complimenting people on sports radio.
Is Cleveland a good defense?
Not when Brock plays them.
Well, I mean,
They're very good, but not that, no. But, not but, that week they weren't.
I mean, week 13, 13th game in a row, they beat Listen, Cleveland. And yeah, I'm with you on, like, okay, he beat Chicago. He outgunned Chicago. Great. He put up five touchdowns against Indy.
By the way, when did Chicago become an awful defense?
They're fine.
They're not great, but like they're 11-6. Detroit is this great offense. They scored. They didn't even get to 20 yesterday.
Indianapolis' defense, when you played them, they were down both their quarters.
Yes, Indy's defense. Indy's lost. What did they lose? Like 7 in a row.
Something like that.
To finish the season. They were hampered. Here's actually the comp that I wanted to make. I want to, Rudy, look, it's a fair take.
It's a great take, Rudy.
No, it's not a great take. It's a fair take.
It's a great take. Rack that guy.
You're allowed to have it. I disagree. I think you disagree too, Dan.
It's about enough of that, okay?
No, it's on my brain. There was a really good, I hope he's listening. There's a really, really nice guy named Dan who came up and said, hi, you want me to pass along hi to you as well.
Okay.
Listens to the show, Costco parking lot.
Appreciate it.
Yesterday morning. It was my second attempt.
Oh, you finally got there.
I got there yesterday morning. These floods this weekend were absolutely bananas. So anyway.
And all you Happy New Year people, you've got until Friday, so let's go ahead and get them out early.
Did you know that Larry David said that it expired yesterday?
Yeah, see,
he's even more dibbly than dibbly.
I have a different take. I'm going to give you, like, the first day back, which is today.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
You get the week.
Okay.
I'm going to give you till Friday. And beyond Friday, that.
What if I text you on Saturday? That's still this
week. You're going to. And it's funny because Pasta, a.k.a. Rice, who's in for Lucas today, he has an alarm on his phone reminding himself to wish me a Happy New Year on the 8th. That's the kind of person we're dealing with here.
But the 8th is still within your frame.
Yeah, then I'll even give you the 9th on Friday.
Okay.
I'm in a generous mood this year.
What if I try the 12th?
Then you're on my list.
Okay.
Ernie Chavez actually...
What happens if I'm on your list? What do the list people get?
I mean, you don't want to know. You don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
You know I'm a grudge holder, so don't make me hold a grudge.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
This is what I wanted to throw at you.
Happy New Year.
Do you want to know? I'm going to give you the name of a quarterback. And you tell me if he's a good quarterback, okay? This quarterback, on November 20th, I think he got sacked 8 times. His team did not get to 20 points. He turned the ball over, let me look it up. He turned the ball over twice, okay? He threw 2 interceptions. He did not throw a touchdown. He was sacked 8 times. His team did not score 20. It was against a really good defense. It was against Houston. Same quarterback, just a couple of weeks ago, went against another good defense called the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've heard of them.
He again did not throw a touchdown. He did not throw any picks, but he fumbled twice. And he only scored 12 points in that football game. You know who that is?
I do, just because I remember the 8 sack game.
Yeah,
and
go ahead.
He stinks.
Yeah, tell everybody his name.
It's Josh Allen.
It's Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
So when you say, like, oh, when Brock goes against a good defense, he's not as good, like, my thought is, right, that applies to everybody. That applies to everybody. And that doesn't, like, remove Brock from the conversation or any quarterback. Doesn't remove Josh Allen from the conversation. But when you have a great defense that overwhelms an offensive line, it is going to make anybody who is a quote-unquote skill position player suddenly look ordinary. It messes up an offense. Something awful. So do I think that Brock Purdy gets worse against good defenses? It's kind of a weird question.
Right.
Yes, because all do.
Do your socks get wet on rainy days?
It depends on my shoes, but...
But yeah.
Yeah, right. And then, but similarly, you know, like, is their output worse? Yes, but I'm also not going to buy that we've never seen Brock Purdy play well against good defenses. This is somebody who's racked up playoff wins, multiple playoff wins twice in a young career. Those, by definition, those are good teams. Those are good defenses.
Right, playoff teams.
The Packers 2 years ago had a good defense and a lead in the fourth quarter. And Brock Purdy, in rain, drove through the rain and won the football game. And nobody wants to ever acknowledge that it happened. So, like,
it's all circumstantial.
Of course it is.
Niners have a quarterback this year who faced that same Houston defense and threw for a .193, had a pick, and McCaffrey had 8 carries for 25 yards on the ground.
They're awesome. They're an awesome defense.
So that was Mac Jones. Right. And we all want to play the hot hand. Well, when you play awesome defenses like Seattle, like Houston, you're going to have a hard time no matter who you are. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, no matter who you are, good defenses right. are going to overwhelm mediocre offensive lines. And that's what the Niners basically have.
Totally, especially if Trent's not in the football game.
Right.
So Kyle is not free from criticism in this game. If you want to make it about Brock Purdy, I didn't really see anything that stood out good or bad about Brock Purdy. It was kind of just a whatever type of a performance. He did not have the time to have the offense function the way it did. But I thought if we could just rewind the clock like 48 hours, I thought that we had collectively as a society arrived at the spot of like, can we stop the Brock thing? Like, can we stop? Brock is a really good quarterback, and he's totally worth the money. And no, they're not going to score 40 points every week. Like, that's where I sit. Like, just go, you know, the last handful of weeks, Brock was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And you don't get to do the whole like, well, but those were bad teams. Who do you think Matt Stafford cuts up? Now, you could bring up the Seattle game with Stafford 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Unbelievable performance. However, his offensive line created time.
Right.
It created time. 49ers offensive line did not.
The Niners scored 37, 48, 42, and then 3.
Right.
If you want to go ahead and average that out, that's still a pretty high-powered, potent offense.
Warriors and Clippers tonight at 7. Warriors live with, Mark Grandy. Mark Grandy. Starts at 6, presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. And we're sponsored by Safeway. Okay, let's reboot. Let's get back to Saturday night. What stood out to you? What frustrated you about that game? Dibs and I are both kind of on the same page. Wanted to see Brock Purdy get moved out of the pocket a little bit more to see if that could ignite the offense. What frustrated you? 888-957-9570. We're just taking your calls today on Willard and Dibs.
D'Amador Lenore across from Jackson Smith and Jigba, and wrapped up and brought down as Darnold. Second sack of the night for the 49ers, and it's Sam Okwuonu.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. If you're doing what I'm doing, then you're listening on the radio. If not, you could check them out and see what kind of hat Willard's wearing right now on YouTube.
Especially when it rains. Especially when it rains.
It never rains in Northern California.
I think that's going to be true after tomorrow morning. I think overnight, this sucker's moving out of here, and it's going to be gone for a little while.
Be great.
Everybody's apps say the same thing?
I think so.
Yeah. Tomorrow morning, maybe. If you're an early riser, you might see some rain. If not, that's about it. And then gone.
Yeah,
and,
gone
and
for
good,
now.
Good riddance.
Yeah, although we need it. Well, which, I mean, no, of all the things that bug me, well, like expressions, like, yeah, we need it. Here's an idea, America. Stop wasting so much water and we won't, quote, need it.
Yeah, but you know, we also need the sun.
We do.
So there's that.
I've got
too.
A neighbor who might be in his or her 80s. I'm not sure, but they don't turn off their sprinklers in the winter. So oh, like 4 days ago, it is sideways dumping and
what is going on here?
We got the Mr. Grandy. Yeah. We got the Mr.
For the love of God.
Because your lawn that is already like more green than the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Like, you can go ahead and let that thing, like, get a little bit brownish, but no, we're watering amid a deluge.
Just because you heard Fitz's voice, you don't immediately have to start doing Notre Dame comparisons.
I kind of did.
You don't have to do that.
I was going to go that way anyway.
Oh, were you?
I didn't know what else, like, I could have gone to the Masters. Hello, friends. His lawn is greener than the fairway on 11.
Yeah.
Hello, friends.
It's
right around the corner.
Not too far off.
Nope.
Not too far off.
Yep.
Okay, hi everybody, 888-957-9570. Basically been spending most of the day just kind of working through Saturday. And what frustrated you or what kind of stood out? And I don't think this had any effect on the game. This is just an observation, and I think it's like thread through what you heard from a lot of the players and coaches. And for me, it says something about this matchup. Like, for example, take a listen to George Kittle after the game.
Disappointed. I mean, yeah. NFL, you know, you can have a bad game, any game. Unfortunately, we decided to have a bad game today. You know, not efficient. Were we 2 of 9 on third down? Tough. Didn't really get our run game going. We started the game off with, what, 2 3-and-outs? If they have a good defense, I mean, and their run game was super effective tonight, kind of hard to, you know, expect to really, you know, win the game if we're not going to score more than a field goal. Shout out to Eddie, though. Thank you for making it.
Okay, so there's that. There's
love
that.
It.
But then he has a little bit more about Seattle's defense.
No, I mean, they pressured randomly. They brought a lot of pressures, which is what they do. They drop really deep. They force you to check the ball down, and they rallied to the ball really well. It's just that's their defense. That's what their head coach has made their defense do. When you've got a really good, you know, D-line, and, you know, they can all win one-on-one battles from time to time, and then you bring pressure with it, you know, and they got a smart secondary. So, no, I mean, nothing surprising. Just I wish we would have taken advantage of some of the situations, and we didn't, and that's football.
Christian McCaffrey on Seattle's defense.
That's a good defense. You know, I think, you know, also I think we just got to execute better. You know, I think, again, we'll have to watch the tape and go from there.
Purdy on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're good defense, good front. You know, did a good job with making us, you know, go through reads and checking the ball down. And, you know, for me, it's like I just wish I could have been a little bit more efficient. And, you know, they're going to make you work for the yards and make you have to convert on third down. And I just feel like third downs were definitely an area that I have to be better. Our offense as a whole, like, I feel like that's the part where if you got to win these kind of games, you got to be good on third down. So, you know, they did a good job.
Okay, and then here's Kyle Shanahan on the Seattle defense.
I mean, it's what we expected. I mean, just with their defense, I'm expected to do better than we did. But we knew it was a good defense. We knew that in week one. We knew it from watching tape all week. We knew it would be a challenge, and they got us in a number of moments, had a couple opportunities, I thought, that we missed. And you can't miss those versus a team like that.
So you take all those comments and kind of also blend
I'm
in.
I'm hearing
some,
it's a good defense,
yeah,
Mark.
So we got that set.
Yeah.
But the other thing I heard.
Possibly.
I'm hearing George Kittle talk about how the people that they've missed throughout the year, it's been amazing that other people have been able to step up and we're going to keep this going. Kyle Shanahan at one point said they put a lot of pressure on Brock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid.
If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Which we expected to happen. And then you get the commentary about like, but we didn't handle it well and blah, blah, blah. So it was almost like there was this thread, and no one will say it in exact words, but they knew that, I don't want to say that they were in trouble, but they knew that there were some spots on the field where they were going to have a hard time winning that matchup. And if you can't win those matchups, it becomes a trickle-down effect. So it's like, okay, they've got a really good pass rush, but we're going to need to kind of hold them at bay, and then you don't. Well, okay, that's it. Now it's a snowball. Brock's got pressure. We can't run the ball. Nobody can separate. We don't have time. The whole thing just gets blown up, and you end with the opinion they were outmanned.
They were, and you know, when you have a team that has a really good pass rush with just four people, which was the majority of what Seattle did, there's only so much you can do. Like, you can run screens. They ran some screens, and Seattle blew it up. I don't think that they ran many draws. This is not very much of a draw team. They run a lot of the outside zone. They didn't run very much read option, again, because, you know, Seattle was rallying up and making all the tackles that they could. And George talked about third downs, they were 2 for 9, and I'm looking at a couple in particular. The opening drive, 3rd and 2, and you throw to Juwan, incomplete. And the other one was 3rd and 2 in the second half when you threw it to Demarcus Robinson, and he went up high for it. He got to the sticks almost, and he caught it, but they were right there. They tackled him. You gained 1, and then it's 4th and 1 and stuff, and you got a punt. And
both those plays you're talking about got like Brock was throwing the ball as he's like falling on his back, too.
Right.
I mean, he just... Yeah, to me, just give credit. They were better. They
give
were fantastic.
Credit. And you know how the Shanahan offense at its best is run to set up the pass to set up the run, keep it, possess it, have more time than they do. McCaffrey had 8 carries, and this is a guy who came into the night with 399 touches on the year. And if you're looking at a McCaffrey recipe, the kind of game you want McCaffrey to get to that 25 touch mark, but he couldn't because you could not stay on the field. And the defense, and this is where I give the defense a lot of credit, where, you know, it was bend but don't break, and they had the 4th down and 4 that they stopped Seattle on, 2 missed field goals that, okay, Seattle, you go ahead and gacked it away. But in general, the defense, while they didn't tackle well, they didn't do what they did against the Bears, which is give up a lot of explosives.
Like, here's another reason. Like, you're absolutely right. And here's another reason I sort of look at it the way that I do. You talk about this a lot. What's Kyle really good at in terms of a offensive game plan is that script, right?
Like, the script and the pre-snap motion, and, you know, being in a spot where if it's 3rd and 4, you don't know if it's going to be McCaffrey running, McCaffrey split out, Juszczyk, Kittle, 3rd and Juwan. You just never know.
Right. And how many plays is the script? It's usually
the first 15, right?
15,
roughly.
Sometimes 20. Okay. How long into the game was it when the Niners offense ran its 15th play?
Let me see. There was 3, then there was 3, then there was 5. So we're at 11 plays through 3 drives.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 12, because they went 4 on 4th down.
Right.
And then they had the one long drive that culminated in Eddie. Thank you, Eddie. Shout out George for, you know, shouting out the field goal. And that one was 8 plays. So 20 plays in the first half.
In the first half. So the
Correct.
15th play came on their 4th drive.
Yep.
And we were already within 2-3 minutes
Just
left to go.
Just about the 2-minute warning,
half.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're down 10-0. So does that change your script? Because when you're scripting the plays, you're not sitting there going, and then we're going to run this because we'll be down by double digits. You're down by double digits. That might cause for you to leave your script a little bit. That's the other thing that happens when you fall behind in the game. And the 49ers are accountable for falling behind in the game. Like, they were allowed to score 2. But Seattle being better in what I saw every phase of the game. I guess not special teams. Their special teams were all over the place. but they were better
on
offense.
The Niners' special teams weren't great.
They weren't great, but they didn't have like some of the glaring errors that Seattle's
did. Yep.
So, okay, fine. But offensively, Seattle better. Defensively, Seattle better. So you have your script and you're really good at that, but what do you do when you go out there and A, you can't even get your script going? I can't even get to my fourth play. I can't even get to my seventh play. And then by the time you are like, okay, now it's play 10. What does my script say? Well, but now we're down by 10. I wanted to run the ball with McCaffrey, but now we got to start hurrying up a little bit. They're chewing up clock and we're down by double digits. So the one question, and I didn't hear it get asked, you know, when Kyle says we didn't run the ball well, I kind of wanted to be like, do you feel like you even tried? Do you feel like, did you get forced to leave the run earlier than you wanted to? I would have loved to have heard an answer to that question from Kyle Shanahan. Because he's like, we didn't run the ball. And I was like, I don't even think you tried.
Well, I'm looking at my notes, and McCaffrey had 3 carries in the first half, and Brian Robinson had 1. You had a couple of Purdy scrambles, but that was about it for the ground game. And so I don't think that you got off the run because you were down 10-0. I think you got off the run because you couldn't run it. And even, you know, even though you didn't.
What tells you, you can't, like if you do 2 runs and only get 5 yards, does that mean, oh, we can't run it?
No, but I do think that, and I'm looking at down and distance, and the second drive, McCaffrey runs it on 1st and 10, he gets 2. Then you get a sack, so now it's 3rd and 9. So now you're not going to run it on 3rd and 9. You pass to Juwan, he gets 8, you punt. The next time you get it, it's pass, 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 and then pass, and then a scramble, and then you go for it on 4th down. So in that spot, could you have run it? Yeah, but you got 6, you got 9, you lost 1, then Juwan had that savage hit on the 2nd and 11, and so now it's 3rd and 11. Now you're not going to run it there. So a little bit was down in distance, and even on those drives where the next drive, pass, 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 and I mean, you lost 6, you got 6, you gained 12, then you ran Robinson for 6, and you were starting to click a little bit, but every time you started to get things moving a little bit, the drives would end.
That's when someone goes, well, the Niners couldn't run the ball. I'm like, well, they couldn't pass it either.
Right.
So why, you know what I mean? Like, that's all. I'm not saying that it would have gone better if they had tried more. I just didn't walk out, at least at halftime, I didn't walk out of there going like, boy, the Niners cannot run the ball. I'm like, the Niners haven't even tried to run the ball. I don't know if they've even had an opportunity to run the ball. They've only had a handful of plays.
20 plays.
They didn't have the ball.
They had 42 plays in the game. So
and that's why I kind of clapped at conversations I've heard earlier, and some of them just us texting back and forth over the weekend. I'm like, I don't want to hear that the defense had a good game because Seattle only had 13 points. I get why the defense doesn't have their players, so I'm not mad at them. But the Niners didn't have the ball. They didn't have the ball because the defense could not get Seattle off of the field. And then when they did have the ball, they could not stay on the field.
Yeah,
everything was poor.
The reason why I give the defense more of a nod than most people, and I'm just looking at my game script here, Seattle's opening drive in the 3rd quarter, they're marching. It's 3rd and 2 at the 40. Charbonnet runs it, and Lenore hits him for a -5, yep. And then they punt. So even though the defense didn't have a lot of great positive plays, that one 3rd and 2, the 4th and goal play where Upton Stout had the pass breakup in the end zone. So there were singular plays that they made that kind of kept them in the game.
I guess, wouldn't you say the same thing about both sides of the ball? Like a DeMarcus Robinson from deep in your own territory, 3rd down conversion. How about on the drive where they do start moving, the rollout where they hit Kittle down the right sideline? Same thing, the layered throw to Juwan Jennings.
Oh, beautiful,
which was
yep.
The play before the Christian McCaffrey bobble that ended up being an interception. I can look to both sides of the ball and give you like 5 fingers where I'm like, that was a good play. But the collective effort overall was totally outplayed.
On both sides,
both
for
sides
sure.
of the ball, absolutely.
But I do think about, you know, the defense, and I'm looking at the first play of the 4th quarter. It's 3rd and 7 for Seattle. They're at your 14, and they throw to Saubert and Stout comes up and pops him and you force a field goal. So that's a 4-point play basically because Seattle was marching and they're in the red zone and you were able to hold them. And again, these are not like, you know, blue ribbon, go ahead and keep these in your memory banks forever plays, but there were some clutch plays defensively that kept it from being, you know, 30-3.
Yes. And then from a clutch standpoint, there was also the opposite for both sides of the ball.
Correct.
You know, again, I'm sorry if I'm harping on it, but as disappointing of a play, one singular play, as I've seen all year long, was the 19-yard run on 3rd and 17 for Kenneth Walker. Like, I that was like, from a fan standpoint, that was like somebody walking up and whacking you in the gut with a broom.
Oh.
No, honestly.
No, have you had that happen?
It
sounds unpleasant.
It's how I imagine if somebody walked up and hit you in the gut with a broom.
Yeah.
Like, I was not proud of myself after that play. My daughter was looking at me like, "You all right?" I was like, "That can't happen."
Right.
And 18 minutes later, I'm still talking about that play. How do you allow that to happen? You cannot be a buttoned-up football team and have that happen.
Right.
Ever.
Well, and the thing about it, two things, and then we'll go to the phones. I know people are queuing up here, 888-957-9570. That play is two plays after the fumble, and you know that Sam Darnold's going to give you one, either a pick or a fumble.
For sure.
And that was the one, and Yetur-Gross Matos had a chance to recover it at Seattle's 25, and he didn't. Two plays later, 3rd and 17, that happens. Then it's JSN for 19, Charbonnet for 12. Three plays, 50 yards, and I'm watching with Pop, my father-in-law, and, you know, not that we were, like, turning it off, it's over, but it's like, oh, boy, and that one, that's going to be, that's the sequence. And you kicked the table on that 3rd and 17. I just screamed out, "Tackle somebody!"
No, there
might have been an F word before "tackle somebody."
I would hope. I mean, if you're doing it right, was Milo asleep?
No, she was around. Okay, she was out and about.
Yeah, if you want to do it this way,
For goodness sake, I
go to bed with two visions in my head, two plays, and it's the McCaffrey bobble and the 3rd and 17. So both sides of the ball get one each, and those are the plays that after they happened both times, I was like, they're not winning tonight.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
It was after the bobble for me because, fine, you hold them to a field goal, even after you didn't recover the fumble, 3rd and 17, they convert. Through all that, you held them to 3, and it's 13 and change left in the fourth. You're only down 10, and boop, 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 here we go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, If shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, Niners, there's the old offense that we love. And then McCaffrey, the bobble pick. It was at that point where I thought, okay, yep. This is just not, it's not going to be your night.
888-957-9570 is the number. Taking your calls on what frustrated you about Saturday night. What stood out to you? Let's go to Shelly in the city. Hi, Shelly. Thank you for calling. Can you check in on Shelly there and see if we can get the radio
Shelly.
Turned down? Yeah, we don't need to hear ourselves talking. My God, we hear plenty of that.
Plenty of us. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So, those are the, I think we're all in lockstep here. Those are the two moments where, and the only two moments where I was sort of like on the forward edge of the couch. Like, this was, you want to know what really sucked about this game? I watched most of it leaning back. Like, they just never.
Shout out Fat Joe.
Yeah. I lean back.
Thank you.
I lean back. I just never, they never got us up. It was not a fun watch. And that really sucks when you go into a game as fired up as everybody was. Like, this was such an opportunity. It's the kind of game where you wake up in the morning and you're like, when's 5 o'clock getting here? Like, let's, right? Get everybody together, figure out the food. We're going to do the darn thing. You're all fired up. And then just bubkiss.
A little bit. And for me, it was
just a bunch of bubkiss.
It was an emotional roller coaster because you had mentioned the Marin floods before. I'm refereeing youth basketball in Marin. My last game was supposed to start at 5, which means I'm done at 6, which means I drive and I'm home at 7. Not ideal. Catch a lot of the game on the radio, no big deal, and I'm going to watch it again anyway. But my 5 o'clock game, it got canceled. So now I'm done at 4. I got a game at 4. I'm done at 5. But because of the floods, the game at 4 didn't happen. So I'm done at 4. So I'm on the road, and I'm home at 5. So I was thinking, like,
how the hell did you get through it all so quick? The games were canceled because the roads were absolutely disastrous.
But going to the East Bay, you're dealing with the Richmond Bridge, and by then the whole Sir Francis Drake, I didn't have to go south into Larkspur and Mill Valley, which is where you got caught up. But so I was able to kind of, whoop, I was able to skirt it. But long story short, I'm done at 4, so now I'm home at 5, and I'm yocked in.
Yeah.
So now I have a chance to, like, picked up Lin Jia Chinese food on the way, and it's, we're ready to go. We got the dragon in Phoenix, and we got some kung pao this, and we got some rice over here. And I'm like, all right, let's go. The one seed. And then, like you said, it was kind of a,
this is a dud.
You're sitting.
Yeah, it was a dud.
It was a sit back. A
total dud.
Yep.
All right, let's try Shelly again.
Come on, Shelly.
How you doing? I don't think you get three tries. You don't. Okay, bye, Shelly. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
First of all, to answer your question about what was the most aggravating part of the game, before I do that, I have to backtrack my steps because I stated last week that I thought the defense was going to show up big time, and I was wrong. So I messed that up. So that's my blunder. But they did play well because they only held them to 13 points. But the thing that really was just agonizingly wrong for me during the game was that they just would not capitalize on the opportunities when they were there. Okay? You had them in the 3rd and 17. You couldn't stop them. You know, CMC had a chance to catch the ball and put them in the red zone. He drops it. It lands into the hands of Seattle. You had a fumble that could have been recovered by us. You don't recover the fumble. I mean, those are opportunities. If we get them, it's a different ball game. But because they didn't, and you watch them play the way they did, you think, okay, here's the opportunity, and they don't capitalize. And I'm just like, God, you're killing me over here. But that was just my take on all of it, man. But thanks.
Yeah, Rich, I think that's fair. The thing that I look at is that would really bother me more if I felt like the 49ers were the better team, and I just didn't feel that way. And I think when you're the worst team, everybody is always given a handful of opportunities in a game. And if you're the worst team, you kind of have to nail those. You have to be perfect. And that's what creates Uncle Mo and upset alerts and all of those things. And they, you're not going to do that every week. Like, you're not going to be perfect. You two are gross matos. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay? This is an oblong ball. We watch this every week. Every time there's a fumble, ball's a whoop, whoop, whoop. The ball's squirting all over the place. It's wintertime. It's wet. He missed it. So, yeah, you can't do that if you're the worst team. It's not like a blame game. It wasn't their night. They weren't perfect, and they had to be.
Oblong ball, and the two plays where the oblong ball came into play, both times they got the ball. One time was a fumble you couldn't recover. One time was a bobbled catch by your Hall of Famer that he coughed up and they were able to collect.
Right into their arms.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about the Pittsburgh game last night where T.J. Watt got that interception off a deflection that he just happened to, hey, look at me. My lung feels good, and now I've got the football.
Game was crazy.
Crazy game.
That game was crazy last night.
I nailed it.
I love,
See if Grandy's awake.
You had a heater.
Thank you, Grandy. He's awake.
Brought to you by Fremont.
That ding was for me being awake.
I know. I've only lost 7 in a row. Fade the Dibber.
We're just getting started.
Yeah, we are.
How many games? Is there still a chance that you finish under 500?
No doubt. I think I'm only like 6 above now.
Oh,
only 5 above.
Five above.
34 and 39. If you fade Dibs, you're 34 and 39.
Dibs going 85 and 72.
And there's 13 games to go?
13 to go.
Okay. We could do it if we try.
And I will try. I'll pick all 6 games, and the picks are in.
Oh, God.
Oh, and I've got a couple of things for you.
We've got some time on the picks are in.
I've got a look at home dogs in the playoffs, and I've got a game that I want to play with you.
Oh, let's do that. Let's do that. And yes, if you're on hold, we're coming. Derek, K. Bueno, we see you. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I'm not a doctor, so. It's questionable. Questionable concern.
All right.
On 95.7 The Game.
You want to talk about questionable concern?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, just listen to this. We're not going to do this today because today is about Saturday. Let's get all of that just out in the world and off of your chest or your brain or whatever.
Saturday, it's a Saturday.
But this is going to be the theme all week long. It took 27 seconds for Kyle Shanahan to work through all the names and the injuries, even though those are usually just like one word.
27 seconds?
Listen to this now. Conference call today, Kyle Shanahan.
D. Winters with his ankle. We'll evaluate throughout this week. Luke Gifford with his quad. We'll evaluate throughout the week. Keon White, hamstring. We'll evaluate throughout the week. Jair Brown, rib. He's day-to-day. Kalia Davis, knee tendonitis, day-to-day. Tatum Bethune, groin, be out for the rest of the season. And updates on players who missed the game, Trent Williams and Ricky, both with hamstring and knee ankle. We'll evaluate them throughout this week.
Okay. So
the old knee ankle. Ricky Pearsall, everything.
So Bethune is out for the year.
Torn groin.
Trent, maybe. Ricky, maybe.
Yep.
D. Winters, maybe. Luke Gifford, possibly. Kalia Davis?
Possibly.
I don't know. Keon White? We'll see.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Did I miss anyone?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Sounds about
possibly.
Right.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Yep. And
oh my God.
The spread opened at 3.5. Philly's now favored by 4.5.
Yeah, not
according
surprised.
To ESPN, bet. Philadelphia
surprised.
And Chicago, your only two home favorites. We've got 4 home dogs in the wild card round.
You said you wanted to play some sort of a game with
before
all that?
Before we play the game, I'm just going to point this out. Home dogs in the playoffs since the year 2000 are 25 and 13 against the spread.
Against the spread.
21 and 19 straight up.
Really?
Home dogs.
Home dogs have won the game outright more often than not.
21 and 19.
Wow.
Since the year 2000. And okay. One more little nuggy nug as we all get ready for a full weekend of betting. Home dogs that are underdog by 7 or more points, which the Panthers are
Carolina.
10.5 point dogs.
Yeah.
Those super dogs at home are 4-0 against the spread since the year 2000.
And what about outright?
Outright, they are they have one outright win.
Okay, one.
And that was
three.
The Seattle. Seattle was, I think they were 10-point dogs the year that they went 7-9.
Oh,
and they
the
won the game outright.
Yeah, that was the Beast Mode game, wasn't it?
Correct. The Beast Quake. So
wow.
Anyway, your home dogs in the playoffs, 25-13.
And the home dogs at this hour, who are the home dogs? Because I'm looking at this in a
Panthers.
Lot. Well, right, the Panthers, but
Jaguars. I got them getting a point
and
a half.
They are. They're
Steelers.
Getting a point and a half. The Steelers.
Let's keep it chronological.
Steelers are, yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
The Steelers. Yeah. I guess there's only
you're welcome.
Three then. Thank you. Only three. Grandy, you're throwing me off, Grandy. Not
yeah,
gonna get me now.
So I'll just run through them all. Yeah. And this is, I think, up to the minute. You correct me if you're seeing something different. But the Rams are a 10.5-point favorite. The Bears are 1.5-point favorite. The Bills are a 1.5-point favorite. The Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite. The Patriots are a 3.5-point favorite. And the Texans are 3.5-point favorites.
Right.
Does that look about right?
That's right. So the Steelers are home dog and
the Jags.
Jags and
the Panthers.
So three of them. Three of the six, which.
I think these spreads also reflect what we've been saying all year, which is so Rams are supposed to beat the Panthers, and then it's. Coin flip, mini coin flip, coin flip, mini coin flip, coin flip, coin flip. I mean, these spreads tell you.
Yeah.
I get 4.5. That's a real spread now. It opened it at 3,
mm-hmm.
and it's all the way up to 4.5. And, you know, 3.5, whatever, because, like, the home team gets 3. So it's a little bit different, I guess, with Texans and Steelers. But point is these games are all expected to be real close.
And real cold.
Yeah.
It's a bring your
most
jacket weekend.
Most of them.
I'm seeing 31 in Chicago, 42 in Philly.
How are we doing in Jacksonville?
63.
Okay.
I mean, cold for Florida.
Yeah. The Bills will be like, what the hell is this?
32 in Boston, 38 in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, take that for what it's worth.
Philly is what? 40 what?
It is 42. Ronnie Lott.
How are we doing on rain and precipitation?
Let me check the AccuWeather
because
at Lincoln Financial.
42 is whatever. That is not preventative of anything. It's chilly.
Yeah.
That's whatever. You can play football in 42.
You sure can.
But wind, rain.
I'm seeing
hail.
After a cloudy start, sunshine returns, breezy and cooler.
Great.
So.
There's no problem then.
I'm breezy. Cooler.
Breezy.
Drew Breezy.
Breezy does not mean windy.
Right.
So you're fine. Go score buckets of points.
Weird because Saturday, 60 degrees with rain, and then the rain goes out and it's 43.
In Philly, it's going to be 60
on Saturday?
That's
what it says here, according to AccuWeather. 60, a couple of morning showers followed by rain and drizzle in the afternoon.
What did you say the Chicago forecast was?
Chicago is 31.
Colder.
Yes. And
precipitation? Sensation.
Thank you. I have to click on and see ahead to, that's a Saturday game, right?
Ka-ching!
Correct.
37 degrees, cloudy.
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 There was a conversation going on in my house about what would have been better, Philly or Chicago. Philly or Chicago.
Chicago.
Why?
I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, we think the Eagles are a better team.
Yes. I just think matchup-wise, I think that Philadelphia can do things to you that Chicago tried to do but was unsuccessful in doing.
But what if I threw this at you? The defense on the Niners is the more hampered group, right?
Yep.
All right, well, then don't I want to play the worst offense?
Yeah, I suppose,
think Chicago's offense right now is more dynamic than Philly's.
Right, but you just saw Chicago's offense and you were able to, I mean, you didn't really slow them down much.
You were able to what?
Outscore them.
You were able to watch them go up and down the field.
I think Philly's defense is markedly better than Chicago's.
I agree with you, but I think Chicago's offense is better than Philly's. So, like, if when you play Chicago, the Niners are trying to win 40-38, but when you play Philly, you're trying to win 26-24.
I mean, maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. Maybe it's the name value of Philly, but.
Sure, and the PTSD.
The wide receivers and the tight end, they scare me as far as, like, who's going to guard these guys.
Yeah, they're the champs also.
Right.
They're the champs.
And it's a tougher environment in which to play, I would say.
Yeah, I guess.
Although
I mean,
Chicago,
Yeah.
They're going to be ramped up. I'm looking here. Tickets as low as $424. How thirsty are you, Bear fan?
Very. Very. Look, and I think we did this a few weeks back. We were you were going through this. I just want to, I'm not here to throw water on anybody's January. Road playoff wins are very rare. Actually, you just said it. All of those home dogs, what do? They usually cover, and in fact, more often than not, they win.
Since the year 2000, yeah.
Road playoff wins are like, you remember them forever. I mean, the 49ers had a year just a few years ago.
Hufanga?
Right. You Hufanga'd. You did Dallas the week before that, and then you came damn near going down to SoFi and winning that football game, Jaquaski Tart. But like, if you go through the Niner dynasty, we should do this actually for this week. Start in 1982 and count up the road playoff wins for the 49ers. And I don't even know if you can get to your second hand. I don't know if you can. I can think of Hufanga and Dallas that year.
Yep.
I can think of the NFC title game in Atlanta with Kaepernick. I can think of an NFC title game that the Niners won in the 80s in Chicago, 28-3. And I'm sure I'm forgetting maybe another one or two.
The year they lost to the Seahawks in Seattle, they won in Carolina and also in Green Bay that year.
In the playoffs?
Yeah, with Colin Kaepernick.
Okay. So,
hard to come by.
It's really rare.
Yeah, and it's I just did a quick glance at the Shanahan era, and as many times as he's made the playoffs, they have two road playoff victories.
Right.
And those are the two.
Those are the two.
Yep.
The other ones, they've been the one seed.
Yeah, so.
And I get that that's why a lot of people were like, that's why yesterday was so important. But again, I am not going to leave that game Saturday night and say the Niners should have won. Nobody's saying that, are you? The Niners should not have won.
No.
The Niners should have lost by more.
If you want to play the should have, the Niners should be 9-8 or 10-7.
Yep.
If you want to should it up, then take an honest look at the season and look at the games that they won that were in the balance that maybe they kind of pulled the rabbit out of the hat. Seattle just came in and was better than you, and turns out they might be the best team in football. We just don't know yet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.